This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين. Always and forever we begin with the praise of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. We bear witness that none has the right of worship besides Allah سبحانه وتعالى. And we send our love and greetings to beloved Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, to his pious and pure family, to his companions and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. May Allah bless us to be steadfast upon the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this life, and to be alongside him in Jannatul Firdaus in the Akhirah. Ameen wa alhamdulillah. Subhanallah, we were so happy from Masjid Burhan al-Islam that we were able to release a poll where you got to mention and comment to vote which Jumu'ah topics are most relevant to you, and we thank you for your response. And subhanAllah, though, we did not expect that today we would be talking about gender-based violence, and it is not an easy topic to talk about. And this is, of course, following allegations that have been leveled in our community over the past couple of days. And collectively, we know, subhanAllah, we've said this many, many times, that South Africa is consistently one of those countries that has a pandemic. It has, not just when I talk about the pandemic, something worse than the coronavirus, it is the violence against women and children. It is the sexual abuse of women and children that not just specific to these latest allegations, but subhanallah, we know that study after study shows that the vast majority of the women in South Africa, they feel unsafe. They feel that they are potentially either they have experienced sexual abuse, they have experienced some form of abuse, or that they're fearful that could harm them. A study done into this says that up to 40% of South African women have experienced some form of sexual abuse. Subhanallah, 40%, 4 out of 10 women around us has experienced some form of sexual abuse. And even more scary and shocking, we have of the highest incidences of violence against children, 1 in 3 children. I have 3 kids, and to think that one of them, based on these statistics, would be a victim of sexual abuse, it gives me, it makes me sick to my stomach. And subhanallah, we give this khutbah, or this lecture, with a very heavy heart, and something that we need to see a change in our community. And as horrible as these statistics are, we know that only a small fraction, only a tiny fraction of the true situation on the ground gets reported. For many times, the victim is too afraid, too embarrassed to report this. It is sometimes swept under the rug. And today, inshallah, we'd like to address this issue, and that is why today's topic is actually called Swept Under the Rug, because this cannot continue anymore. And subhanallah, and if we really, as a family, want to deal with this issue head on, it becomes incumbent, if you are the patriarch, if you will, or the matriarch of your family, perhaps take this weekend to sit down with the kids in your family, to sit down with the teenagers of your family, even those who are in the advanced years, and ask in your closest circles of friends, has anyone ever experienced physical force, sexual abuse, unwanted touching, unwanted or inappropriate comments from someone at work, someone at school, someone in your immediate circle, even looks, subhanAllah, inappropriate looking. Has anyone experienced this? And you might be surprised, you might be shocked at what comes out. So we begin, when there's a number of issues that we need to address here today, we begin with the strongest condemnation, unreservedly. We condemn in the strongest terms any abuse against any other person, whether it is verbal, physical, sexual, emotional, financial. Islam is a religion of rights, and it's a religion to protect the rights of every single human being in this world, of every faith. And subhanallah, so we condemn anyone who has harmed any other human being. And this form of harm, sexual abuse, is of the greatest of the kabair. It is of the major sins, and it is of the most heinous sins in the sight of Allah. That, subhanAllah, think about it, in the Quran, Allah has said it is haram for us to look at someone with lust, to even look at someone inappropriately. It is haram. It is mentioned in the Quran that we should lower our gaze, both to men and women. Allah said that looking is haram. So what about commenting? What about touching? What about forcing oneself upon another person? Wa'iyadu billah. And subhanAllah, as I said before, many, many ayat in the Quran, Surah Nisa in particular, Allah has mentioned the strongest the strongest in the strongest terms how the rights of women, orphans and children are viewed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is deeply sacred when it comes to the rights of the vulnerable in our community. And it is those the last advice, subhanallah, moments before, you know, before the Prophet had passed away, less than 24 hours before he passed away, the final advice was to care for those that are weak and vulnerable in our community. And as for the culprit, the predator, the one that perpetrates this abuse, then he is a zalim, he is an oppressor, and of the worst categories of people on the day of Qiyamah would be the tyrants, the zalimeen, those who oppress others, the likes of Fir'aun and the Fir'auns that we find here in the dunya, those who in their own households, that they are tyrants, that their families live in fear of them, that they exploit and abuse them. And subhanAllah, as I said before, if we look through the Quran, of the highest and the most severe consequences are for those who harm and harm other people. And so a person in the position of trust, a person who is in a position of authority, whether it is, you know, your boss at work, whether it is the imam of the masjid, your teacher, an educator, your father, your grandfather, subhanallah, anyone who is in a position of trust over someone vulnerable and they abuse and exploit that trust, then it is more reprehensible, and of course the sin is just compounded. And we say to all those who have done this and who are continuing to do this in particular, or someone that has done this and has gotten away with it, Allah, the Prophet says to you, beware of the dua of the oppressed, beware of the person that you have harmed, that you have hurt, for there is no barrier between that dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That there are people that we have hurt, and subhanallah, they are making dua against us. We should beware that ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take action. That even if, you know, the law, even if the leadership of the community, you know, never could come out and support these people, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that takes it upon himself to take action. And we know the severity when Allah takes action. Subhanallah, something to ponder about, something to think about. The worst punishment you could find in the Sharia is of course stoning. And stoning, very rare, it is very rarely practiced. You hardly ever find someone being stoned to death. But stoning is in the case of two consensual people, two people who have intercourse consensually, two married people, and commit adultery. What if it is, subhanallah, done by force by one party? Then it is not only zina that requires stoning, but it requires an additional punishment of abuse, an additional punishment of causing mischief, of harming someone. And so, subhanallah, the punishment is even more severe. We know the punishment for rape just on its own is execution. Subhanallah, and more, and the Prophet ﷺ, as we said in a previous khutbah, that a person was convicted of committing rape in Medina, and he was sentenced to death, he was executed. And so if that is the penalty in the dunya, we can only imagine the retribution in the akhirah. And so subhanallah, we ask that all of us, whatever crimes we have committed, to come clean and to confess our sins, not to any person, but to confess our sins to Allah and to make right the harms that we have done. Because of course, whatever difficulties is in the dunya, the akhirah's retribution is so much worse. And these crimes, subhanallah, Allah has shown time and time again, it becomes exposed. And so Allah protect us for the sins that we do, that these things come out. And so we need to speak out against this, and we should, you know, move away from this concept of sweeping things under the rug and remaining quiet and covering things up. Allah, the Prophet ﷺ says, whoever of you sees an evil action, let him change it with his hand, and if he's not able to do so, then let him change it with his tongue, meaning he speaks out against it. And if he's too weak to even do that, then his heart should detest this thing, and he should make dua against it. And this is the weakest form of iman. That subhanallah, if a case has come to you as an imam, or your kids have complained to you as a parent or as an educator, and you see something wrong being this has come to you now, then it is your responsibility, it is your duty, it is wajib upon you to do something about it. It is not sufficient to say that it's not my business, or have sabr, or keep quiet, it will just go away. This must change. And subhanallah, it is an incumbent command from the Prophet ﷺ that if we see something wrong, then we need to do something about it. Because then if we don't, we become complicit in that wrong. It is our duty to expose these culprits. I'm not saying that everything should be done publicly, but I'm saying that these people should be brought to justice. And it is a type of jihad. In fact, it is a jihad, because it is not easy speaking against those in authority, speaking against those who have done wrong and have in a position of power, they've abused people. It is a type of jihad, and that's why the Prophet ﷺ says that we should help our brother, whether he is the oppressed or the oppressor. And the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ, we understand that we should always support the oppressed, we should stand for the rights of those who have been oppressed. But how do we support the oppressor. And so the Prophet says, by preventing him from causing oppression, or her from causing the oppression. And subhanAllah, when we take action, we are doing justice to the victim and to the oppressor. We are helping the victim and the oppressor. We are rectifying the oppressor and preserving the rights of the oppressed. And so long as this continues, then we perpetuate oppression in our community. And so we speak out against these things. And there is this concept, and people ask, but does not the Sharia say that we should cover faults, and if we see something wrong, we should, you know, make things makmatu, don't let it become open. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want us to expose the faults. Yes, there is a hadith in Sahih Muslim where the Prophet says, whoever conceals the fault of a Muslim in this world, Allah will conceal the fault of this person in this world and in the Akhirah. So yes, indeed, we make things closed, but understand what this means. This means that, subhanAllah, you see Sumayya in the club, and she hasn't harmed anyone, she hasn't taken the rights of anyone, she's done something that was not correct, she had a slip of judgment. It is not important for you. You should not then plaster it over social media and let everyone know what Subayya did. We saw Ahmad, subhanAllah, leaving the liquor store. We should not. We may can speak to Ahmad. Yes, we speak to the person who committed the sin. Guide them, advise them. But it's not meant to be made publicized. A person committed a mistake 20, 50 years ago. It didn't harm anyone. It didn't harm anyone's rights. It only is a sin between that person and Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no reason to make this public. However, if the sin is ongoing and it harms and affects the rights of some person financially, emotionally, if someone's rights are being taken away, if someone's dignity is being harmed, then it is our responsibility to stop this thing, and we need to bring this the culprit to justice. And if we do not do so, then this oppression, the sin, will destroy more and more lives. So we need to understand that just as much as we keep things quiet in cases of matters between that person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it's matters of the dunya, when it harms a person, when someone is a victim, then it is the Prophet says we need to stand up against oppression. And therefore we applaud those who had the courage to come forward. We applaud those who had the courage to speak out, because in this area, especially matters of sexual abuse, there is a great amount of stigma. There is a great amount of a backlash, subhanAllah. You know, instead of supporting the victim, you find people actually criticizing the victim, people asking nonsensical questions, to degrade the victim. And so we say to those who have the courage to speak up, the Prophet says to you that verily amongst the mightiest forms of jihad is to speak a word of truth or a work of justice in the face of a tyrant. When you speak up to someone who is abusing and harming people, and you speak the truth against them, then this is the highest form of jihad. And subhanAllah, with you speaking up, you give voice to the countless millions of people that are suffering in silence. There are so many people that we walk by, we work with, that we our neighbors, that have gone through some kind of trauma. They carry these scars for the rest of their lives. They never had the courage to come out, subhanAllah. And when they hear someone speaking up, it gives them hope. And we hope, and more than that, we hope that it is a deterrent for any other victims in the future. There was, you know, part of this discussion about speaking out, I was asked, what about social media? Is this the right place and the right platform? Should we put everything on Facebook and mention names and everything comes out? Is this the right way? The Prophet ﷺ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Hujurat, O you who believe, if a fasiq, if someone comes to you with any news, then verify it first, lest you should harm people in ignorance, and afterwards you become regretful for what you have done. So as much as we say that yes, we need to speak out, not everything that is put on social media we know is correct. And not every accusation that is made on social media, you know, is something that we should take as face value as being true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that before we act on any information, we need to verify before we hurt someone in ignorance. So something comes to you, someone is mentioned some allegation is leveled, whatever it might be. Either the person leveling the if we do not know the circumstances, then we have to investigate. And subhanAllah, the Messenger says, it is enough for someone to be considered a liar by sharing everything that he hears. That anything we see on social media, we spoke about this before, that you see something, you don't know if it's true or false, but you share it and you publicize it, then you become accountable for it. If that person made a mistake, if that person spoke out of turn, if we harmed a victim in some way, then subhanAllah, we share in that guilt. And so the basic default is that if we don't know and if we're not involved in the situation, then we should investigate. And of course, as we know, that a person is presumed innocent until proven guilty. And this is the default, that everyone deserves a trial, everyone deserves a fair hearing out. And subhanAllah, we need to, though, while we understand that, for me the question is, why have these victims, and many victims have come out and they've used social media to mention and to bring forward the problems that they have faced, the abuse that they have been faced? Why have the formal channels failed? And without discussing the pros and the cons of social media, and alhamdulillah, we must say alhamdulillah that people have found a voice in social media, that social media has been a platform where changes has caused, change has happened across the world. The Me Too movement, Black Lives Matter, what it tells us is that the systems that we have in place, they are failing. They are failing the vulnerable people in our community. They are failing our women and children. They are failing those people that experience oppression. The Uyghurs in China, for example. Had it not been for social media, we would not have known of what's happening there. The Rohingya, people of different ethnicities that are oppressed on a daily basis. Because the system has failed, because the formal channels support or protect the oppressor and they do not support the oppressed, that is why people have resorted to social media. And so I think a far more important discussion for us as a community, for us as ulama, as lawyers, as educators, as community leaders, as media, we need to ask, why are the structures that are meant to report these incidents, why have they failed? Why has the formal channels failed? And why is there a conception, everyone says this, you find comment upon comment on social media platforms, that these matters are raised, but they are swept under the carpet. They are brought to the people in authority and nothing ever happens. And so we need to ask ourselves, when a predator can operate and he can prey on victims for decades, when decades of victims, have come forward and have given testimony, and this predator is not removed from a position of power, when most of the offenders you'd find are repeat offenders, meaning they have victimized many, many victims, then of course we know there is something wrong with our system. The system is broken. When the victim does not feel safe to tell their parents, their grandparents, to tell their family, to reach out to their local imam, their community leaders, their teachers, if the victim does not feel safe by those people entrusted to care for them, then of course it tells us that there is something wrong with our system. When the victim does not, or when the victim does even report, when they have the courage to report the crime, and they say that we've taken this matter forward to the relevant authorities, but nothing ever happened, the perpetrator continues to operate, continues to exploit more victims, then this tells us our system is broken, and we need to look at that. When a victim is blamed for coming out and speaking the truth, when a victim comes to report their case and instead we ask the victim, why were you there? What were you wearing? What did you say to cause this? Then subhanAllah, it tells us that we have completely, completely done a disservice to the victims and we are actually supporting the perpetrator. And so then these matters get swept under the rug. And if we care more about preserving the honor of a rapist or a molester and deny and forget about the honor and the dignity of an innocent victim, then we become part of the problem. And when we see this happening and it becomes more convenient to remain silent, to say have sabr, make dua, and to allow the abuse to continue, then we become complicit in that. And this is not in line in the teachings of Islam. This is not in line with what Islam teaches. SubhanAllah, the story that is most mentioned in the Quran is Nabi Musa standing up to oppression, Nabi Musa standing up to Fir'aun, Nabi Musa speaking against that which he was doing. And so Islam's, and it's not the thing that hurts me the most, it's not just that that a person's dignity and honor has been harmed. When we keep these things silent and we allow it to continue, it tarnishes the dignity of Islam. Islam is the one that gets blamed when Islam, subhanAllah, has nothing to do with this. Islam tells us speak out against oppression. And so for those who have spoken out publicly, we commend you and we say, we as a community, we stand with you, that you should not feel that you are alone, that subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Mujadala, a lady comes to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she complains about a husband who had abused her. Now he did not beat her, He did not physically abuse her. He did not sexually abuse her. He did not financially abuse her. What did he do? He said a vulgar word to her. He, you know, verbally abused her by saying something very, that hurt her deeply. And so she came to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to complain about, my husband said this to me. And before the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could respond, before the Prophet could even answer her appeal, Allah responded by Allah says, قَالَ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ. Allah says, Allah has heard the complaint of the Mujadala, of the lady who complained about her husband. And she has taken the matter to Allah. That Allah says to all those silent victims, that Allah hears your plight. And Allah, and subhanAllah, this surah tells you, as one tafsir of the surah, if you look at in every ayah in Surah Mujadala, the only surah in the Quran where in every verse, Allah mentions His name to say that Allah is with you, O victim. That if you are not able to voice your pain, then Allah hears it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your mawla, He is your protector. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. That's sufficient for you is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the case where no one stands with you, Allah is with you. And so if you have been harmed, we again appeal to you that you need to come forward and you need to expose the harm that is being done, because subhanAllah, not just for your own sake, the fear is that these people continue to perpetrate this harm. And so whether it is through the formal channels and whether it is done privately, and it must be said again, subhanAllah, many of these victims, they have taken the formal channels, they went to their families, they went to different bodies, they went different routes, and it fell on deaf ears, and then they took to social media. No one does this to get likes. No one does this so that their face can be shared. In fact, no one wants their face to be on social media in this regard. And so, subhanAllah, we need to really, really think deep and hard how we're going to assist and create a platform that is safe, and so that people who have been victimized can come forward and speak. And so speak out against those in authority who have harmed you and those who have assaulted you, that this is, these people continue to perpetrate this. And we remember, subhanAllah, anyone in this situation, take strength from the story of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. He was, of course, as we know, a victim of sexual exploitation. The lady of the house, she was in a position of power. He was an orphan. She had control. She had guards. And she forced herself upon him. He fought her and he rejected her as much as he could. Eventually, he was imprisoned. And after years of being imprisoned, when he was finally released, he then exposed her. And he insisted that a court case be made so that it must be known what was done, and that to exonerate himself and to bring justice. And subhanAllah, so Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, he did not say that, look, this thing happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago, we'd rather keep quiet. No, subhanAllah, he actually raised it and he took the matter to the king and he sought justice. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands from us. And so beyond this specific issue and beyond, alhamdulillah, we pray that Allah, Allah saves you and me from ever being victimized in this way, and our children. More than that, more than being the victim, may Allah protect us from ever being the culprit. May Allah protect us from ever harming anyone, abusing anyone, taking the rights of anyone, whether it is financially, whether it is physically, whether it is their dignity, their name. May Allah protect us. And advice to all of us, number one, let us be very careful with regards to our children, subhanAllah. We know it's festive season coming up, that, you know, people are out and about, and we need to monitor our children. Unfortunately, we live in a very unsafe environment, and most of the times the criminal, the ones that harm our children, are the people that we trust, our relatives, sadly, people, family members, friends that are in and out, people that we could never have imagined, they are the ones that we should be most wary of. This is not just statistically proven from the hadith. A man comes to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and says, my wife, you know, the way she dresses and whatever, in the confines of a house, she may dress as she pleases, no problem. But what happens if my brother comes in, meaning her brother-in-law comes over, should she dress appropriately around him? And the Prophet says, the brother-in-law is death, meaning that the in-laws, subhanAllah, the relationship between uncle and brother-in-law and all these things, it is sometimes the source of fitna. It is the source of how problems can happen. And so we should always be vigilant and be careful that in every home this could happen. It could happen whether it is in Bishop Lavers or Bishop's Court. These things happen. And so we should be very, very careful, and we should monitor our children. We should know where they are. We should not leave them alone for extended periods of time. When we leave, we should make sure that they are really in the care of someone that we trust. And we should teach them about inappropriate touching and looking. And when our children complain, subhanAllah, when our children come to us as parents, as teachers, and they say that they felt something happened that was inappropriate. They felt some, and they come to you to express a concern in confidence. It is your duty, subhanAllah, it is wajib upon you, it is fard upon you, that you take this seriously, that you give them a hearing, that you investigate this, and that you find out, because children will not make up stories of this nature. And that, subhanAllah, children are old enough to understand what is appropriate and inappropriate touching. And if children cannot turn to their parents for support, for assistance, where do they go besides for that? And so, look at how children act with regards to certain other adults. Look and be careful if their personality has changed, if they become quiet, speak to them. They should know that they can always speak to their parents, and you as a parent will have their back, subhanAllah. Beyond this, there is definitely a need for reform. That, subhanAllah, as a community we are hurting, and we are tired of hurting, that we are bleeding and we want this to stop. As imams, we've said this before, that unlike any other faith-based community, our community relies upon us more than the Christians rely on their priests, and the Jews rely on their rabbis. Because whenever there's a problem in the community, the first port of call is to phone the local imam, Maulana, to go to the MJC or the Jamaat. Alhamdulillah for that. We love that. We love that our community still comes to the imam and sees the imam as a source of guidance, a source of assistance, that Islam will be there to protect me. But it also means that we are in a very, very strong position of amana. We have a position of trust, and we should of course do whatever it takes to make sure that the people that come to us with concerns, we support them, we give them the necessary assistance, and that we stop the abuse to the best of our ability. We should encourage them to make formal cases with the police. It is the time of, you know, sabr and be silent is over, subhanAllah. Why? Because this person that is causing the abuse continues to cause the abuse, calling the man in and telling him, you know, you've done this abuse, please stop and make tawbah and istighfar. Yes, there's time for tawbah and istighfar, but a predator does not stop. And so we should make sure that these cases are taken to the law, and the law is practiced to the full extent, and so that someone that has committed this wrong, you know, it, part of Islam is justice. This person needs to be brought to justice. And so as imams, we need to do whatever it takes to support the victim, and to make sure that our primary concern is the well-being of the victim and those vulnerable in our community. We need to create a safe platform and a dignified platform where people can safely voice their concerns. If anyone was harmed, any comment was made against them, any touching was done, anything, that if anyone was victimized, there should be a very safe, secure, easily accessible platform where a report of abuse can be lodged, and it can be done in a very a dignified manner, and then the required investigation can then follow. The fact, as I said before we talk about why did people go on social media, my question is, why has the normal channels failed, and what can we do to ensure that those channels are restored? And this is where our energy needs to be put in. We as community leaders, counselors, doctors, lawyers, imams, all of us, we need to come together and form some kind of support structure, so that people should know that immediately if something happens, every child, every woman, every man, everyone, young or old, should know that if something that happened that was not right, I know exactly who to turn to. They will be there to champion my rights. I even mentioned, subhanAllah, perhaps to understand the full scale of what is happening, do we dare have a survey in our schools, our madrasas, our masjids, who has experience in their life, who, subhanAllah, is currently experiencing gender-based violence? Do we have the courage to have an anonymous survey just to look statistically in the Muslim community? How prevalent is this issue? And I dare say we will be shocked. We will be scared at that results. And every school, subhanAllah, it is our duty to ask our learners that, you know, is this happening? It is a duty of trust that Allah has placed upon us, you know, to take this forward. If we cannot, subhanAllah, protect our women and children, then, you know, what are we doing as leaders, as a community? If our people live in fear, if our people are being abused and nothing happens, then it's an indictment on all of us. For all of us, subhanAllah, and there is no exception to this, there is what we know. We have two lives that we live. We live a public life, that which people see, people admire, people respect in our work, and, you know, what we do publicly. But then there's the private side. What do we do in private? What do we do when it's all alone, just us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, us and those that are, you know, in our care? The Prophet ﷺ says, and how true this is, I certainly know of people of my ummah who will come on the day of Qiyamah with good deeds that like mountains, you know, like mountains. That's how many good deeds. They in the public sphere, they built mosques, they were part of committees, they did so much good in the public sphere that they have deeds like the mountains. But Allah will make it like dust. Allah will nullify all of it in the day of Qiyamah. And the Sahaba became shocked and they said, who are these people? What person is this that will come with mountains of good deeds, but it will be made null? Allah will completely nullify all their good deeds. Allah will reject all those good deeds on the day of Qiyamah. Who are they? The Prophet says, these are not strangers. These are people, our brothers. They look like you. They are amongst us. They are the people that we see day to day. Who are they? They are the ones who basically in the public arena, they live a certain lifestyle, but when they are alone, the Prophet says, they transgress the sacred limits of Allah. That they commit the worst of crimes when they are alone in their public sphere, in their private life. And so subhanAllah, all of us, this is not speaking about specific incidences, but how are all of us, if we ask, what is it that we search late at night? Who do we communicate late at night? What do we do when the eyes of the world is not upon us? What kind of life do we live in a private, in our private capacity? This hadith tells us that we should be aware of those sins that we do when we're all alone, and our secrets, we should not have dirty secrets and things in the closet, that if people come out, it will nullify all the good deeds that we've done. It will ruin our reputation in the dunya, and subhanAllah, the reputation of the akhirah is far more severe. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah grant our private life to be even more beautiful than our public life. May our relationship with Allah, the deeds that we do privately for the sake of Allah, be even more beautiful than that which we do in the public arena. And lastly, of course, with every crisis, we know that Allah, while we are still here and we are still alive, the doors of tawbah and healing and repentance is open. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and say to those who, when they have committed fahsha, they've committed immorality, they have committed the worst of sins, or they wrong themselves with evil, they should remember Allah and ask forgiveness for their sins. And none can forgive sins but Allah. And do not persist in what they have done of wrong while they know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extending an opportunity for all the sinners of the world. Stop what you are doing. Make istighfar. Make right what you have wrong. Part of repentance. Part of repentance is, of course, number one, stopping the sin. And number two, it is about restitution. Making sure whatever was taken from the victim is returned. If you stole someone's haq financially, to return it, you cannot get istighfar until you've made restitution. And if you've harmed someone's dignity, then you need to accept whatever justice is applied upon you in the dunya to safeguard you from the justice of the akhirah. The justice of the akhirah is far more severe. And then, of course, to repent and to make istighfar. That even the worst of sinners, that if they reform themselves in the dunya, then they may find forgiveness from Allah in the akhirah. And whoever does evil or wrong, Allah says, and afterwards seeks forgiveness, he will find Allah oft forgiving, most merciful. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana warhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. Ya Allah, we have all sinned and we all transgressed openly and secretly. There are sins we have done, sins that we don't even know that we're doing. Ya Allah, forgive all of us. Ya Allah, do not expose our sins in this dunya and in the akhirah. Ya Allah, whatever sins we are doing, grant us the strength to desist from it. Forgive us for transgressing the limits and harming anyone. Ya Allah, protect us and our children. Protect our children. Ya Allah, please protect our children. Protect our community. Grant us to be better. Grant us to be a community that is pleasing to you. And grant us to be successful in this dunya and the akhirah. Jazakallah khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon all of us. Ameen. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa salam al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.